Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Seshasai Technologies Limited Q1 FY 2027 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pratik Jagtap from EY Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Alaric. Welcome everyone, and thanks for joining Seshasai Technologies Limited Q1 FY 2027 earnings call. The results and presentation have already been mailed to you, and you can also view them on our website at www.seshasai.com. In case anyone does not have the copy of investor presentation or press release, please do write to us and we will be happy to share them with you. To take us through the results today, we have the management of the company represented by Pragnyat Lalwani, Chairman and Managing Director, Gautam Jain, Whole-time Director, and Pawan Kumar, Chief Financial Officer. Pragnyat will start the call with a brief overview of the company and business update, which will be then followed by Pawan, who will take us through the financial performance for the quarter. Then we will open the floor for Q&A session. As usual, I would like to remind you that anything that is mentioned in this call which reflects any outlook for the future or which can be construed as a forward-looking statement must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties are included, but not limited to, what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual reports that you can find on our website. Having said that, I'll now hand over the call to Pragnyat ji. Over to you, sir.
Sir, please go ahead.
Thanks, Pratik. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for the Q1 FY 2027 earnings call. I hope all of you have had the opportunity to review our financial results and presentation. Let me quickly discuss the business highlights for the first quarter of FY 2027. Post that, Pawan will take you through the financial update. We are pleased to report a strong start to FY 2027 with a superb revenue growth of 21.1% on YoY basis, reflecting the strength of our diversified business model and continued execution of our strategic priorities. While the quarter witnessed some pressure on gross margins from the material cost mix due to rising geopolitical issues, however, disciplined execution and operating efficiencies enabled us to deliver growth in EBITDA and maintain healthy margins. We remain focused on driving sustainable growth, improving the quality of earnings, and building a resilient future-ready business. During the quarter, we witnessed healthy demand across our key business verticals, supported by deeper customer engagement, increasing adoption of our technology-led solutions, and strong momentum in our non-payment businesses. Communication and fulfillment and IoT solutions delivered encouraging performance, further strengthening our revenue mix and reinforcing the benefits of our diversification strategy. We continue to invest in innovation, automation, and technology capabilities that will support long-term growth across our businesses. We would like to update that our Nagpur and Bengaluru facilities are still under construction. We expect the Bengaluru facility to be operational by the end of the calendar year after the necessary regulatory approvals. In this quarter, we won two multi-year tenders from leading PSU banks, which represents approximately INR 73 crores in revenue over the tender period. In terms of business segment update, our payment solutions contributed 42% to total revenue in Q1 FY 2027 and saw a nominal growth of 5% on YoY basis. We continue to see healthy demand and deeper customer engagement. Our strong relationships and proven execution capabilities continue to support business momentum. Our premium metal card business continues to gain strong traction and remains an important growth driver within the payment solution segment. We are witnessing increasing adoption from banks and fintech partners as institutions seek to enhance customer engagement and differentiate their premium offerings. This category not only offers us superior margins but also strengthens our positions in the high-value card issuance market. We continue to expand our manufacturing capabilities to meet the growing demand for our metal cards. With the capacity expansion underway at our Bengaluru facility, we are well positioned to support both domestic and international opportunities in this space. We are also seeing encouraging traction from global markets, particularly in Europe and Africa, which provides an additional avenue for growth going forward. Communication and fulfillment solutions contributed 40% to total revenue in Q1 FY27 and witnessed a growth of 13% on YOY basis. Our communication and fulfillment solution business also delivered steady performance backed by recurring requirements from BFSI, enterprise and government customers. As Indian enterprises continue to invest in digitalization, automation, cloud-led communication infrastructure and secure customer engagement platforms, we see strong relevance for our solutions. This segment continues to provide stability to our overall business and supports our objective of building a more balanced revenue mix. IoT solutions. IoT solutions contributed 18% to total revenue in Q1 FY27 and witnessed a growth of 145% on YOY basis. Our IoT solutions business remained a key growth driver during this quarter. Within our IoT business, RFID continues to emerge as a significant long-term opportunity. Enterprises across retail, logistics, pharmaceuticals, food supply chains, and manufacturing are increasingly adopting RFID-led traceability and automation solutions to improve visibility, compliance, and operational efficiency. We believe the market is still in the early stages of adoption and offers substantial headroom for growth. Our strategy remains focused on moving beyond standalone RFID tags towards providing integrated end-to-end traceability solutions that combine hardware, software, data intelligence, and supply chain orchestration capabilities. This differentiated approach allows us to create greater value for customers while improving the quality of our revenue mix. We are particularly excited about the opportunities in the pharmaceutical traceability, where regulatory requirements, product authentication needs, and supply chain visibility are driving industry-wide investments. We have continued to make progress through customer engagements, pilot projects, and infrastructure readiness, positioning ourselves well to capitalize on this opportunity over the coming years. We continue to make encouraging progress in our SIM and eSIM businesses. Following the successful commercial rollout of SIM card production, we are strengthening engagements with telecom operators and expanding our presence in the digital connectivity ecosystem. With our unique certification stack, secure personalization capabilities, and integrated eSIM platform, we are well positioned to capitalize on the growing adoption of eSIM technology and enterprise IoT applications in the years ahead. The rising demand for real-time tracking, inventory visibility, asset monitoring, technology-led operational efficiency, we believe our IoT portfolio is well placed to scale further over the coming years. As of now, we operate in a challenging environment impacted by geopolitical uncertainties, currency fluctuations, and cost pressures. While these factors may create some near-term headwinds, we are actively working with customers on price revisions and taking steps to protect margins and maintain healthy profitability. At the same time, management remains focused on strengthening supply chain agility through diversified sourcing and strategic inventory management, helping us respond effectively to changing market conditions and ensure business continuity. Importantly, our business fundamentals remain strong. We have built deep relationships with customers, suppliers and partners over the years, which help us navigate short-term challenges and position us well for future growth as global conditions improve. We continue to see healthy demand across our key verticals, supported by strong customer engagement and a solid pipeline. Looking ahead, given the nature of our business, we expect H2 FY27 to be stronger, driven by seasonal pickup in BFSI demand and steady momentum in the communication and fulfillment businesses and continued growth in the IoT segment. These factors, along with our disciplined execution, gives us confidence in our outlook for the rest of the year. To summarize, Q1 FY27 was a strong start to the year, with healthy performance across all three verticals. While global uncertainties remain, we are confident in the strength of our diversified revenue mix, recurring business base, strong customer relationships, and focus on future-ready technologies. These trends support our medium-term target of delivering revenue growth of 8%-12%. We remain committed to creating long-term value for all our stakeholders while continuing to invest in future growth opportunities that will drive the next phase of our journey. Thank you for your continued trust and support. We look forward to updating you on our progress in the coming quarters. With that, I will now request Pawan to take you through the financial and operational highlights for the quarter. Over to you, Pawan.
Thank you, Pramyan sir. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining our Q1 FY27 earnings call. Let me start with a quick summary of our performance for the quarter gone by. In Q1 FY27, our revenue from operations stood at rupees 377 crores, up 21.1% YOY and down 6.9% QOQ. While revenue shows healthy year-on-year growth, it moderated sequentially versus Q4 FY26. Historically, Q4 is the strongest quarter in terms of revenue. This moderation has to be seen from that perspective. Gross profit increased by 13.3% to 157 crores. Gross margin moderated at 41.7% in Q1 FY27 from 44.5% in Q1 FY26, as cost of materials consumed increased faster than the revenue. The cost of material consumed for Q1 FY27 came in at 58.34%, which is about 411 basis points higher than the average 54.23% COMC cost of material consumed for the full financial year FY26. Traditionally, H1 revenues are lower than H2 revenues, and hence higher costs show in H1. Due to the product mix and operating leverage, COMC would be lower in H2, as played out in Q4 of last financial year as well. EBITDA for the quarter came in at 94 crores, with an EBITDA margin of 25.1%, an increase of 135 basis points YOY. Despite the pressure on gross margin, disciplined management of employee and other operating costs supported profitability. Profit before tax increased by 48.8% YOY to 82 crores, supported by operating growth and a substantial reduction in the finance cost. Our PAT for the quarter stood at 60 crores, registering a growth of 63.8% YOY, with margin at 16%, up 418 basis points YOY. In terms of revenue mix across our core verticals, payment solutions continue to be the largest vertical, which contributed 42% of the revenue, followed by communication and fulfillment at 40% and IoT solutions at 18% in Q1 FY27. The top 10 customers contributed almost 56% of our revenues, and more than 95% of our revenues came from existing clients, showcasing the stickiness of client relationships and strong renewal and repeat business characteristics of our business model. On the balance sheet and cash flow front, we remain well capitalized. As of 30th June 2026, we had cash and cash equivalents of rupees 369 crores. With respect to the IPO proceeds, utilization remains in line with the stated objects of the issue. During Q1, a total of 24.4 crores were deployed, primarily towards CapEx of 6.7 crores, GCP of 13.7 crores, and issue expenses of 3.9 crores. Overall, Q1 FY27 marked a strong start to the year, reflecting the strength of our diversified business and disciplined execution. As we continue to invest in growth and technology, our healthy margins, strong balance sheet, and diversified revenue streams provide a solid platform to support the next phase of our growth journey. Thank you once again for joining us. With this, I hand it back to the moderator to open the floor for the Q&A session.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Diya Jain with Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So we have performed really well on a year-on-year basis. So how should we look at the whole year in terms of revenue and margins?
See, as I said in my opening remarks, that we foresee a growth of about 8 to 12% on a year basis on the revenue compared to last year from a growth perspective. And on the margin, as a matter of practice, we really don't put out specific EBIT or PAT numbers, and you know that position hasn't changed. What we're happy to do is give a visibility on the drivers rather than the outcome. What is our order book? What are execution timelines or capacity utilization? These are generally moving parts at the moment, including the geopolitical situation and the input cost escalation. Any precise number we give you today, you know, probably would be false precision. So since these are not within our control, what we commit to do is being transparent on how these factors which are affecting our margins play out and share that with you, quarter on quarter. So we can give you the building blocks of the input parameters which can help you build your own view and hold ourselves accountable on those building blocks rather than actually giving specific margin numbers at this point.
Okay, sir. So can you please share how many films we've rolled out so far?
How many?
Films.
You mean to say SIM? S-I-M?
Yes, sir.
You mean the SIM card issued?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so we've been working with a large telecom operator over the last 4 to 5 months. Okay. And I would say we probably are right now doing close to 20% of their requirement of the pre and postpaid SIMs that they require. It is the third largest telecom operator in the country. They are currently catering to 20 to 25% of the requirement of the SIMs.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
The next question comes from the line of Mohit Sukhani with IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening. First of all, congratulations on the great results. I have a couple of questions for you. First of all, our gross margin has been down sharply both on QOQ and Y-on basis. So I wanted to know how much of this impact is due to negative operating leverage, which would be recovered in the later stage, and how much impact would be due to pricing and rupee depreciation. And further, can we pass on this cost to the customers? Also, what would be the expected gross margins for the full financial year 2027? My second question would be, what would be the broad capacity utilization in each of the segments? And what are your plans for new capacity additions in the segments? And overall, if you can provide insights over overall capital expenditure that would be spent in this financial year.
Thanks, Mohit. So basically, on the gross margin part, as you know, H2 of the year normally, traditionally for us, is always better than H1. So typically there are two things play out for us very favorably. One is the nature of the product mix that constitutes our H2 revenue, and also the operating leverage that plays out. Okay. Now, right now the input costs that have impacted our cost of goods sold here in the first quarter is predominantly the entire war related impact. Now this has got probably two or three fold impact. One is obviously the direct impact on the currency, and then there is an impact which is the outcome of the war in terms of the commodity pricing and the logistics and the freight cost. So to our mind, maybe 40% of the impact, 40-45% impact is directly attributable to currency, okay? And the remaining probably is due to the direct impact of the war on the input costs. To answer the question regarding how the operating leverage would pay out, probably you can actually look at our last year's number of Q1 versus Q4, right? So as you see, every quarter last year as we progressed and the revenues have improved quarter on quarter, the operating leverage has played out wherein our gross margins, EBITDA margins, have improved. So, we see no reason why all of the things being equal, as you know, the macroeconomic situation is not in our control, but assuming that things don't get worse from here on, I think the operating leverage definitely will play in as we go on quarter by quarter and we have better numbers coming in. Second question of yours was about capacity utilization. So capacity utilization typically for us in our business currently is around 65% to 70%. Having said that, this also has a cyclical nature to it. So typically when customers have higher renewal cycle demands or there are month-end loads of customers, we also reach about 85% to 90% of our capacity utilization. But on average, we tend to be in the 65% to 70% range. On the capacity addition front, as we shared earlier, we are setting up a completely new greenfield facility for metal cards in Bengaluru, which we see is almost in ready state. Now we will be getting into the certification and the compliance processes, and we feel by Q4 we should be into that process, and before end of this calendar year, that facility should be operational, which will add significantly to our metal card capacity. And on the capital expenditure side, we are on plan to use our IPO proceeds as per the stated objectives therein. And we probably will be maintaining the range as we have said earlier, about 140, 160 crores per year of capital expense, even in this financial year. Just to say that we see this this opportunity for us to reinforce our position in all the three verticals. So we continue to invest strongly and use this opportunity to deepen our capacities, being ready for the times to come in the following years to take growth ahead. So investments are as on plan, as per plan.
Okay, got it. And further, can you please tell what would be the gross margin percentage for the full financial year if I'm considering the financial year as a whole?
See, essentially, as we said earlier, that as a matter of practice, we don't put out specific, margin figures here. What we're happy to give is, the drivers rather than the actual outcome, as I've said earlier, right? So from here on, we see the H2, as I said, is going to be better than H1. That is definitely going to help us in our operating leverage. It's also the product mix typically at that point, that part of the year has better margins for us compared to the H1. Which will again aid to us for the improving margins. Now, assuming that the macroeconomic situation does not change, we see no reason for any dramatic change in the margin numbers that we are having at this point in time. We think probably the operating leverage and the product mix should only help us improve the margins from here on.
Okay. And also, can you give some insights about the order book and any future growth in order book, our order book would be growing at which rate in future?
So, right now we have a steady order pipeline and basis which we have given our guidance for the year. Okay. And as you know, our business is essentially back-to-back with the demand being put to us for the customer. So right now, based on the visibility that the customers have given us, we are, the guidance is what we are given based on that. Okay. And as and when we receive something further in the coming quarters, we shall share it with you from time to time.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Zaki Nasir with Nasir Investment. Please go ahead.
Sir, congratulations on a strong set of numbers as you have indicated in the last con call. You have indicated that margins will be maintained at current levels, sir. So do we assume that Q1 could be a base for the current year, sir?
As I've explained before, Nasirji, that the Q1 numbers typically, if you see, is an outcome of obviously the inputs. I'm talking about the absolute margin and also the operational leverage that we get and the product mix that we have, right? So other things being equal, what we feel is that as the quarters go by and more of operating leverage kicks in and the product mix plays out as per what visibility we have now, okay, we feel there should be a margin improvement as we go along, but we don't see any dramatic change also in the margin from where we are here. The current macroeconomic situation, as you know, is very, very uncertain, but assuming that nothing untoward happens on the macroeconomic front, we feel that the margin should definitely have a positive bias as we go along.
Sir, payment solution being our single largest vertical, how do you foresee changes in this segment, sir, on a macro level, whereas the UPI is gaining traction? Do you think that your cards business would be affected because of this?
In fact, it's a good question. See, the UPI playout on the card consumption is something which has been to our mind already played out in the past few years, okay? And we also feel strongly that UPI does not directly impact card issuances, right? See, we as an organization are more concerned about card issuances rather than the number of transactions happening on a card, right? So typically here, especially on the credit card side, the credit cards have their associated benefits for the issuance by the issuers, it could be some discount offered due to an alliance partner, or it could be some scheme that is running on the card, which obviously UPI will not offer. So I'm saying from that perspective, on the credit card side, it has its own probably value proposition. On the debit card side, again, customers tend to always keep a card in addition to the UPI transaction that they do. Now, what we need to see going forward, as we would have seen in the media, that there is going to be MDR which is going to be applied on UPI. Government is contemplating of transactions above a certain threshold to be charged with MDR, right? Now, right now, the users have been very used to absolute zero charge on UPI as time goes by. So probably MDR being charged on UPI could be another factor which will in fact even probably completely obliterate the difference between a UPI and a card, because if MDR is debitable on both. So from our perspective, our customers have given us their plans, obviously, and the volume forecast basis which we make our business plans, which are already factored in the UPI impact or the UPI aspect into it.
So you feel that part of UPI versus card has played out and the cards will remain stable going forward?
Yeah. See, the answer to that question also, sir, if you see in the last 1 year, the UPI saturation level is almost hit the ceiling, right? If you see the UPI transactions are going up, but probably the UPI user base, okay, is not really going up as much as it was going up in the earlier years, okay? It's almost reached close to saturation level. So that also undermines our whole position that the UPI impact has kind of played out. Also, one more thing just to tell you, sir, that the payment solution business for us, right, is also not just coming from the card issued. See, we are also very focused on playing the value proposition here in terms of two or three things, right? One, how is it that with Gen Z and the wealth segment in our country going up, how is it that we also cater to the niche premiumization space which customers want, which have definitely higher ASPs? Customers wanting the sustainability around the cards being issued today, how is it we bring sustainable card solutions, because every organization has its own environmental and sustainability objectives. And then obviously there's a metal card aspect to it, right? Which for which we are investing heavily into our infrastructure and capacity. So we look at a payment solutions revenue buildup as both a volume driven growth and a value driven growth for the existing volume, right? So this is how we kind of look at you know, also you know, we began just very nascent stages now of exports of our cards from here to Africa and Europe. And we also would like to see, as time goes by, in our premium products, how to leverage the India manufacturing advantage to further you know, probably use this channel for you know, fueling our growth.
Fantastic, sir. And if I may just add another sub question to this, sir. Seshasai has been an enabler in the sphere of payment solution. So would you ever think of us entering the thing as a payment gateway kind of a organization, sir?
Sir, if I may just say, Seshasai is an organization, sir. If you see, we've been typically focused on two or three things as our, maybe I have repeated this earlier also, as our mantras for any business that we enter into, right? We try to get into businesses which require, you know, a high-end technology with a compliance mode or a technology mode which requires a typically a physical product to be delivered, which can scale along with time and which probably is done on a decentralized basis. So, I mean, on a payment aggregator solutions, etc. I would say this space is already having players in that space, and we have ample opportunity in the current offerings that we have within the payment ecosystem itself. As time goes by, we will share details with you as things rectify. But we have a lot of interesting adjacencies in the current product offerings that we have itself, which are you know, immense need to our customers. So our energies and our focus in R&D is right now on logical adjacencies, you know, where we do not have to invest too much into additional infrastructure, you know, where we can probably leverage on the current infrastructure and current resources to build up the adjacencies.
Thank you, sir. Good to hear that you are not looking at that area. Best wishes for the year, sir.
Thank you.
Participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Pritesh from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you call out the growth of the individual segments if you had to look at the next 2-3 year CAGR? So the cards, eSIM and the RFID tags, you know, at what pace should these three businesses grow separately?
So, see, as you said, last year our IoT segment, we have grown at around 45% year on year. Okay, so this year also we expect it to grow at a similar nature. Probably in the following year, with the base being higher, okay, we haven't you know, really given a growth on the following year. So I think that should be again in the range of, you know, 35% to 40% on the following year. So between financial year 26-27 to 27-28. Yeah, we expect the IoT business growth has been at 45% in the previous year. It will be in the 45% this year as well.
Okay. And the cards will...
See, the communication fulfillment business, we expect that to be remain in the flattish range for you know, for the coming years. The payment solution business, the
growth driver.
So we factor how much there? For 10-12%. Yeah. So there's about 10-12% growth that we factored in the payment solutions business.
So, hi, Pritesh, this is Pawan here. So, as Mr. Pragnath mentioned, we expect the IoT business to grow. Last year we grew close to 45. We expect, you know, a similar percentage growth on IoT business. Communication and fulfillment, we expect that to be more or less flat. We achieved almost close to 30% growth last year. Payment solutions, we expect a decent growth over this year and next year.
maybe as we go along, we need to see how the product mix in that evolves and other opportunities evolve. Overall, internally, we have about, you know, a plan of close to about 12% CAGR is what we, you know, internally thought, as we had indicated in earlier in the
Okay. And chronology of margins, so if one has to understand just the chronology of margin in the three businesses, where should the IoT business margin?
So typically we've not separately given our margins per se across the three verticals. There are multiple adjacencies and common costs across the three verticals. So we have our blended EBITDA, which we've, you know, done close to about 25% this quarter. More or less, the businesses are in that range only. Payment solutions and IoT are more or less the same. Communication fulfillment is slightly lower.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Pratik Bantia with Fermi 325 Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, congratulations on a strong set of numbers, especially the IoT vertical. I just wanted to understand what was the capacity utilization in this quarter for the SIM card business?
SIM card business, Pratik, we are close to around 40% capacity utilization.
Okay. And another question I had was on the insurance clients that we have. We seem to have about five insurance companies as clients. So I just wanted to understand, are those clients up for re-tendering or have they moved to another player?
What's your question? Please come again.
Sorry, as per your slide, I think the number of insurance companies that you are serving is down from, let's say, 13 to 10 life insurance companies this quarter and from 9 to 7 general insurance companies. So is the are they opening another tender for their business again?
No. Pratik, hi, Pawan here. So the customers that, you know, typically have churned out in insurance are customers who were doing very nominal business with us, you know, almost zero. They've gone completely digital and there's, you know, probably very less business that we were doing with them over these years. So one of the cases that, you know, none of these specific customers have gone in for a re-tender. So we've not lost any business. The customers who kind of transitioned had very nominal business with us over, you know, last few years anyways.
Okay, got it. Great to know. Thank you.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Siddharth Daga with SN Daga and Company. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening to the management and congratulations for the great set of numbers. Am I audible?
Yes, Siddharth, you're audible.
Yeah, so my question was related to the IoT business. In the Q1, we have grown over north of 100% on YoY basis. So now when you're telling me that the IoT business is to grow at the rate of 45%, are we signaling any slowdown in the business in the coming quarters?
No, basically, if you see last year, our Q3 and Q4, on the IoT business is very strong. So there's no slowdown, the growth remains intact. So, you know, typically we probably looking at almost doubling the number of what we were at last year. Okay, so the growth typically is going to be there. It's just that the first quarter last year for IoT, first and second quarter was slightly weak. So the growth looks slightly more exaggerated. But the growth traction remains as per plan, and we should be able to
probably have IoT still contribute close to 15 to 18% of our revenue at the end of the year.
Okay, that was the only question I had. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Dia Jain with Sapphire Capital. Please.
Yes, thank you for the follow-up. So the Bangalore facility that is going to commercialize by end of this year, can we expect meaningful revenues from FY28?
Definitely.
Would you like to quantify or give us any targets?
I think it's too early for us to do that. But all I can say is we're hoping it contributes something even this year, but certainly it will start contributing next year almost.
Okay, so thank you.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Pulkit Singhal with Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My question is on RM price trends. When you look at the payment solution business, how much is the chip prices up on a YOY basis and at what pricing do we have the inventory currently?
So I think the chip prices probably have more or less from whatever that we procured in the first calendar quarter of this year has remained kind of flattish. Okay, so there's no drastic change in the chip pricing. Just that the dollar impact on the chip pricing, the chip pricing is always in USD. So the dollar impact on chip pricing plays out basically.
YOY basis, the chip pricing you're saying is flattish.
We've had some marginal improvement on the chip pricing, but it's got more than offset by the dollar impact, kind of.
Okay, and going ahead, you don't see prices increasing for your chip. I'm presuming you had some inventory, and that is why the chip pricing must be lower for you. But the current prices in the market would be a lot higher, right?
No, so if you see, that's reflected by our working capital days also. The strategy that we adopted over the last couple of quarters is to increase our inventory holding of chips. For both for IoT business and the payment solutions business, so that allows us to basically get better pricing because of the inventory holding and the pricing. And also, as of now, we don't have any. We have a forward bias that probably sometime next year things could be different. We don't have very clear indications, but right now for us the lead times have gone up from the suppliers. We haven't yet seen the price impact playing out. We're watching the situation very closely, and as we get indications of any upward price revision, then we'll have to take appropriate action in terms of managing our supply chain and also engaging with our customers appropriately.
Understood. Thank you.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Participants, please press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing remarks.
We thank all the participants for joining us today, and we assure you that we remain committed to very good profitable growth and ensure that we give meaningful returns to our stakeholders. And it was lovely interacting with all of you. Thank you once again for joining the call today.
Thank you all for joining us today. It was lovely interacting with you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Sesha Sai Technologies, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.